This morning, what I want to do is share with you some of the words and message that we see in the Gospel of Luke. We're actually going to divide this into two parts. I began to look at this passage and pray to the Lord and develop the message from this. And I thought to myself, this needs to be a two-week message. And so we'll have this part one today, and then we'll finish it up and have part two next time. So if I kind of end in a way that is more abrupt, it's just because we're going to all come back next week and continue this wonderful announcement. This is what we have today. An announcement. An announcement that God has decided to come into the world this time. And he's going to come into the world through a child who was born. A child who was born. So we read earlier in the service the account from the Gospel of Luke. As you may know, Luke's Gospel and Matthew's Gospel give us a very detailed account of God announcing his arrival and the coming into this world. So again, looking at the first few verses of Luke, chapter 1, beginning at verse 26, it says, "In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, to a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you.'" I like that. The Lord is with you, and the announcement is that the Lord will be with you. The passage begins with a time reference in the sixth month. What does that time reference refer to? Well, truthfully, it refers to the verses that precede this story. We have, this is actually the second announcement of an angel. The first announcement was to Elizabeth, a cousin of Mary. If you read the opening verses of Luke chapter 1, you read the account of the angel coming to Elizabeth and Zechariah, her husband, announcing that their child would be born and it would be the herald of the Messiah. And as we'll see later on in the story, that was a miracle. Elizabeth and Zechariah were way past childbearing years, but God was going to work within them to bring about the herald of the Messiah. And then now, beginning at verse 26, the angel goes and visits Mary and announces to her that something is going to take place within her. And again, as we heard earlier, in the context of this passage, nothing is impossible for God. So we have this time reference. Now, this time reference is important in other regards as well. We know, as we lit the candles during the first week of Advent, that there are four candles. And we said these four candles represent 400 years of waiting for the people of Israel. There had been 400 years of silence. God had come and he had established a nation, a people, through Abraham, through Moses, through others. And there was a promise made to this nation, to this people, that from them would come the Messiah. From them would come one who would bless the whole world. When God called Abraham, he said, "Through you all nations will be blessed." Paul takes that passage and makes it more specific in the book of Galatians and talks about the seed of Abraham being the one who would come. And Mary now is the one who will bear that child. The 400-year period of silence, of waiting, is going to be broken now with God fulfilling his promises, God coming in this child. There's also a sense in which there is a time reference in the whole bigger picture of the history of what God has been doing throughout time. Again, that relates to the Old Testament and what God had begun to do with preparing the nation of Israel. But it also relates to the whole world in which God eventually was going to break forth with a message of salvation and hope for all mankind. And that's what the Christ child represents as well. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. Paul writes, but when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that he might receive the full rights as sons. Galatians is a breaking forth of God's message to the whole world. It's also it's reference in time to the time period in which Jesus did indeed come. First century Palestine, they were in need of some visitation from God. On Wednesday nights, we've been studying the book of Daniel, and we've been talking about how God is working through the histories of different peoples in order to fulfill his promises. And in the recent chapters of Daniel that we've been looking at on Wednesday nights, it talks about God allowing different nations to occupy the land. First the Greeks, then the Romans. And there's a sense in which the promises have not yet been fulfilled, but God will break in, and God is breaking in with this person of Jesus. The presence of God was needed in the first century. Do we not need the presence of God today? We need God to visit us. He visits us in the person of Jesus. He continues to visit us as we continue to walk in the message of Jesus and as we continue to walk in the Spirit of God. God sent his angel, Gabriel. Gabriel is the messenger God, or messenger angel, excuse me. And he brings the message of God's intervention, God's breaking in to the course of time. We see here that God takes the initiative. He sends the angel into his creation. He doesn't wait for man to find him. He breaks in. He sends his angel. He comes. One of the songs we sang earlier was Emmanuel. Oh, come, Emmanuel. What does that word mean? It means God with us. God with us. From the very beginning, God had planned to come and to visit us and to be in our midst. And that takes place in the time of Christmas. Christmas is about the creator of the universe, who is not himself part of the universe, but moving himself in the person of the Son into the universe that he made. John Piper describes this event in a very important way. John Piper says, and what makes this fact even more remarkable is that this created universe, the personal part of it, the moral part of it, is in rebellion against its maker. And yet he came into the universe that he made in order to save those who are in active rebellion against him. Let's just pause at that point and think about this for a moment. The universe, God's created order, was in rebellion against him, had defied him by choosing a different path. But God still comes, and he loves, and he gives, and he forgives. Think about how we would respond to those who would rebel or defy us. In fact, even this morning, Trish and I were having a conversation about a situation where I'm seeing, kind of a defiance or rebellion. And my initial response was, okay, that's it. If that person's done with us, we're done with them. And she had to correct me and says, no, that's not what this is all about. Our Christian love isn't about turning our back on those who may have turned their backs on us. And so I had to be corrected and checked in my attitude and in my perspective. Again, we have a God who is reaching out to us and loving us and coming to visit us in the person of his Son, even when we are in rebellion against him. How do we How do we, you and I, respond to those who rebel against us? Do we distance ourselves from them? Do we defy them, rebel against them, or are we drawn closer to them? Just think about us, and in contrast with how God reaches to us. These opening verses of our passage remind us of the humble origins of the Christmas story and the importance and the centrality of humility when it comes to our relationship with God. There are two points of humility in this session. First, there's that humility of place. The humility of place. And then there's the humility of persons. Let's start with the humility of place. The angel announces to Mary that, or comes to Mary, and it says that he comes to Mary, a virgin betrothed to a man in the town of Nazareth. But if you read, if you listen carefully as we read, it doesn't just say Nazareth. Nazareth was not a big, important town that everyone knew about. And so the angel says, places Nazareth in a town in Galilee. God was visiting this humble place. God was visiting a girl in this humble circumstance. You think about the land in the Bible. You know, when you think about the city of Jerusalem, often Jerusalem is talked about in the Bible and it's understood where Jerusalem is. Jerusalem doesn't have to be defined by where it's located, but Nazareth was a little town in the north. In fact, remember when Jesus first began to call his disciples to himself, and the first mention of Nazareth takes place in the adult ministry of Jesus. One of the first disciples, in hearing on that Jesus comes from Nazareth or had come from Nazareth, says, "What good can come from Nazareth?" But that's where God chose to visit, in this humble place, this humble town, this village in the north, in the region of Galilee. We want to think of this in contrast to the importance of place that we often have. Do we see the privilege of place, the privilege of power? God chooses to come and to visit us in our humble places. God can do things, amazing things, in our places of humility. God also comes to visit us in humble people. I was looking for an image to use for my message this morning, and I had the notion of having Mary as a central theme, in the reaction that Mary had, and the person that Mary had, and so many of the images that I was looking through showed Mary in her grandeur, Mary in her in an exalted way. I found this image and I thought this is the image that captures the Mary that's portrayed in this passage. She was a humble person. In fact, looking back to the opening verses, we see that when she's introduced, she's not introduced at first by her name. Why is that? Well, nobody knew Mary. Mary was a young Hebrew girl that nobody knew. A few moments ago, I read a quote from John Piper. I didn't really tell you who John Piper was. Many of us know John Piper is a very recognized pastor in our nation today. And so just to say John Piper doesn't require any further defining him or explaining who he is. But when it comes to Mary, the announcement is to a young girl in Nazareth, and then it isn't until later on that her name is given as Mary. She's not defined by her name. Nobody knew who she was. She's also not defined by her accomplishments. She's a young girl who had not done anything grand or great. She had done nothing to draw the attention of men, to say that she had done something that warranted God's recognition. She's not defined by her family. She's not defined by her background. In fact, we are told very little about Mary. We're told very little about her family, her background, who she was. Instead, when we look at this passage, we see that she is defined by her humble submission to God. And it's only after she is recognized for her humble submission to God that her name is given. And her name was Mary. God chose her. God came to her. Not because of her name. Not because she was recognizable. Not because of her accomplishments or her family or her background or what she had done so far in her life. He comes to her because she is willing to be a humble servant and humbly submit to what God would do for her. Now, in time, her name would become recognized. In fact, last week during our lead team, we were reading a passage from Luke chapter 1, from a few verses later. Let me read for you the same passage we read last Tuesday night. It was chapter 1, verse 46 to 49. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit glorifies in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name." Again, this is in contrast to our own culture. We tend to give our attention to those with power, those who are have made great accomplishments, those who have name recognition. Here is a humble young girl from a little town in a far-off place, far from the big city. God chooses her. God chooses the humble. He chooses the one through whom he knows he can accomplish his mission, his work in this world. Mary, if you think about it, was the very first Christian we have in the Bible. If a Christian is one who believes and who submits to the good news of God coming into this world in the person of Jesus in order to save sinners, would not Mary be the very first Christian? The very first Christian, this humble Jewish girl, was the first one to hear the gospel message from this angel and believe that she bore in herself not an ordinary child, but a gift from God. A gift from God. Again, Mary is filled with joy and considers herself blessed not because she has a child, but because she bears in herself the Son of God, the Son of the Most High God. Last week we were looking at missions and we were talking about the importance of what we believe about Jesus. If you recall from last time, we mentioned that in 1 John chapter 5, verse 1, that we are to believe that Jesus is the Christ, and in believing that Jesus is the Christ, we are born of God. We also looked at John chapter 1, verse 5, and we're told that in order to overcome the world, we must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And then we also looked at Romans chapter 10, verse 9 last week. And Paul tells us that it is with our mouth that we confess that Jesus is Lord, that we are saved. Believing that Jesus is the Christ, Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus is the Lord. Mary believed that she was with child. That's not why she was highly favored and highly blessed. She also believed what the angel had said about that child. Christmas is about sharing with the world who Jesus is. What was special about this child born of a virgin from Nazareth? For it is in believing this that we are born of God and that we have peace with the world. Not just believing in Jesus, it's believing who Jesus is. Do we believe that Mary brought forth a child? Well, yes. Do we believe that that child is the Christ, the Son of the Most High, the Lord God Himself? Mary believed that. She was the first Christian. She was blessed. God, I believe, chose her because He knew she would be the one who would embrace what God would do through her. Let's make application to ourselves, and then we'll close this morning. We'll finish up this passage next time. God is looking for us to be humble like Mary, to not be known by our name, to not be given accolades because of our many accomplishments, to not be important because of our family or our background, but just a humble servant, someone who is open to what God would do through us. God was able to do an amazing thing through a young girl who submitted her life to Him. God was able to do something in a place that wasn't known to many in the outside world. God will choose the humble. And when we believe and trust and allow ourselves to be used of God, He will do great things through us. Nothing is impossible for God. Will we be like Mary and allow God to work through us and to share with the world? For it is believing that Jesus is the Christ, that He is the Son of God, that He is the Lord, that we are saved. Mary was the first person to believe that Jesus, the one that she bore, in that very manner. Again, her excitement was not that she was pregnant, but that she bore the Son of the Most High. As we believe, we are born again, and we are able to overcome the world, as we learn in John. And as we continue to send missionaries, the missionaries go into all the world to tell people not that Jesus is, but who Jesus is. For it is in believing who Jesus is that God welcomes us and embraces us and saves us. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for coming, for blessing, for working through those who humbly submit to You, so that the whole world can know Jesus. And not just know that Jesus was a man who lived in first century Palestine, but that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the Most High God, that Jesus is the Lord. Help us to believe that in our heart. Help us to continue to share that with others. Help us to continue to give to Lottie Moon and to pray for Lottie Moon, and to be those who participate in sharing that gospel message. As we come into the Christmas season, help us to remember Mary. Mary, did You know, as we heard earlier in the service, Mary, did You know? Mary, the first one to believe, the first Christian, and certainly not the last, as the message of Mary and the message of the gospel goes out into all the world. We pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen.